The following is a conversation between His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and Professor Durkheim, recorded June 19, 1974, in Germany.
Where may I put the question, Master? On the way, there should be progress. Inner progress. How to realize that there is a progress? I would say one thing is very important. There are three sufferings in the world of mankind: fear of annihilation, despair. If you are taken by something thing which is absurd, and loneliness if you are alone. These three sufferings in the world for the natural being. I realize that you make a decisive step on your inner way where you feel life in the very moment where you have to die, where you feel the great meaning in the very moment when you just have been in despair, and when you feel the great love of the personal God exactly where you are lonely in the world. And I have realized that we are now in a very decisive moment in the Western world, because for the first time in the history of mankind, the Western people, Europe and the States, start to take seriously certain experiences, inner experiences, where this truth is revealed. In all time besides, I see the great tradition of the East. They knew about those experiences where death loses its terrifying character and becomes the threshold to some bigger life. And I always see with also my disciples, as soon as they learn to go through some kind of death, they awake on a new level. So, I always say, if people are in my place, and after a week they still sleep very well, then I have made a mistake. They are not that cheap. Just to realize something in overcoming their usual needs, their usual fears, their usual habits, in order to touch inwardly another level, and then suddenly they realize there's some quite different principle at work as they see usually in their natural mind.
So that divine principle for the devotee is already realized, because a devotee never thinks of this body, that I am this body. He thinks that I am Aham Brahmasmi, I am spirit soul. So without that realization, there is no question of devotional life. That is first understood. That instruction is given by Krishna to Arjuna, that you are considering very seriously on this body. But a learned man does not take this body very seriously, either dead or alive. That is the first reality. That everyone in this world, they are concerned with this body, dead or alive. When alive, they take care of the body in so many ways. And when dead, they erect big statue upon it. So, that realization is this body. When it is alive, very nicely dressed, nicely combed, nicely everything on account of this body. And when dead, then again, the statue, the tomb, that's all. But missing the active principle. He's taking care of this body even after death by erecting very nice memorial. But he has no knowledge where the active principle has lost. That is ignorance.
When I was a young man,
yes.
I was 4 years in the World War.
Oh.
4 years. 48 months almost in the foremost front. And I was one of the two officers of
the World War.
It's World War I. 1914 to 1918.
Yes.
And I was one of the two officers who were not wounded in my regiment. And there I met death again and again. And saw people just killed next to me, and suddenly it was out. It was just only, as you say, the body without soul. But I realized also, in my thought, that when death was near, and you had accepted death, accepted to die, then you realized something which has nothing to do whatsoever with death.
Yes. That is something.
So this marked me very much. It's the very beginning of my inner way. These 4 years of World War.
There is a verse. Narayana parasadbe na putasana bibhut. If one is God realized, so he is not afraid of anything. Sargapu Varku Narakesha Vitulla Sudarshan. So actually, if one is self-realized, he is no more fearful or concerned with the bodily necessities of life. That is liberation. Just like having melts and sleeping. Sleeping also a bodily necessity. When you are tired, you sleep. That is bodily necessity. But it is not spiritually necessary. About the Goswami, it is said, Nidrahara Viharata Vijito. Conquered over sleeping, eating, making. That is also one of the symptoms of self-realization. These things are necessities of the body. So, the more one is advanced in self-realization, these things will be minimized. Eating, sleeping, making, and depending. And gradually it will come to me. Because this is bodily necessities. Self, the active principle, that is different. The active principle, necessity is different. That is Krishna consciousness, God consciousness. But these are bodily necessities, eating, sleeping, making. So long this body is there, of course, we must eat, we must sleep, that is required. But the more you advance, this necessity diminishes. Bhakti parasanubhava virakti annatrasa. Then sleeping will be considered a waste of time. And a self-realized man goes to sleep, he thinks that I am going to waste so much time. Because still I am subjected to the necessities of this body. He regrets.
The progress of self-realization is a sequence of experiences, isn't it? Of inner experiences.
Yeah.
The progress of self-realization is a progress of inner experiences.
Yeah.
And I do believe that at the actual moment still, the treasure in the European peoples, the different peoples, who went through the war, through concentration camps, through battlefields and bombing nights, are hidden in their hearts. Certain moments wherein, when death was near, and they were wounded and nearly torn in pieces, because they had a certain experience, they survived. And again, when I give a lecture, I have two or three people waiting, telling me, now you just reminded me an experience, long ago, 10 days ago, 2 months ago, when I thought I was a little bit crazy, and now I understand it has been the experience, one of the most important of my life, on which I should have built my future in a way. And these experiences are still there. And once people understand, they don't need a war and a battleship and a concentration camp and a bombing night to take serious certain inner experiences when they suddenly are touched by this divine reality. And they suddenly feel that this body existence is not the last thing at all.
That you can experience every night.
Yes, exactly.
When you dream, my body is left on the bed and I go somewhere. That is experience, that I am separate from this body. At that time, I forget my this body is lying down on the bed. I am acting in a different atmosphere. So, and again, in daytime, I forget that at night I was in a different body and I went to such and such place, or on the sky I was flying. I forget. At night I forget this body and at daytime I forget that body. But I am existing. Therefore I am not this body. I am existing in this body and that body. But that body I forgot and this body I forget. So this is a structure on my mind only. Actually, I am different from the mind and that is self-evident. That is described in Bhagavad Gita. Indriyani pararahu, indriyabha paramana. Find out this verse. Manasastu paro buddhi, buddhestu jasa. So, that's it. This is the third chapter, I think.
Indriyani Ranyahu, Indriye Vyakramanav, Manasastu Parabhudir, Yohudhe Kratastusa. Translation. The working senses are superior to dull matter. Mind is higher than the senses. Intelligence is still higher than the mind. And he, the soul, is even higher than the intelligence.
May I put a question, sir, to the question of time, the meaning of time? I think there are two ways to look at time and to look at eternity.
Time is eternal. Time is eternal, but we calculate time, past and present and future, according to my temporary material existence. Just like a small ant, the ant's past and present is different from my past and present.
It is different from?
My past and present. I am a human being. I live for 100 years. So my past and present is different from the ant who lives for, say, a few hours.
It's different from?
From the ant. A small living entity. And similarly, Brahma, his past present is different. Because he has millions and millions of years as one day. So the time is eternal, but according to our condition occupying the time and space, we calculate past and present and future. Otherwise, time itself is eternal.
Well, now my question, you see, talking about eternity, there are two meanings or concepts at the same time. The one is that the finite life is going on infinitely. Infinity, millions of years. That's one way to think about eternity.
Yeah.
But there's another one. When
eternity means we say no beginning, no end.
No beginning and no,
no
end.
No end. That is eternity.
Isn't there also this other one? When, for instance, Christ says, I am before Abraham was. This I am. There is one kind of eternity which has nothing to do with past and future at all.
Yes.
Which is beyond past and future.
Past and future is concerned with this body.
It's concerned with this body.
Yes.
It is concerned exactly with this body and with this ego, with regard to which there is a before and an after, and up and down. And if you take away this ego, what's there? What's left?
And that, that,
say, then
that is pure ego.
That's a pure
now,
yes.
I am born Indian, say, 75 years ago, 78 years ago,
yes.
And I have got this Indian body, I have got this false ego, that I am Indian, and this body, and this is misconception.
It's one way to look at time. It's not the
time is there, but because I've got this temporary body, I'm thinking past, present, future. The temporary body will vanish as I get another temporary body. Then again, my being is past and present. So therefore, this is called illusion. Time is eternal. It has no beginning, no end. But we transmigrate from one body to another, you are calculating, miscalculating past, present, future.
Time has no beginning and no end.
No.
But time, in this second sense, has nothing to do with beginning and end.
It has no end, beginning, no end.
No, beginning, no end. That's
the beginning and end is of this body. And in relationship with this body, we are calculating past, present, future.
But without this body, you wouldn't become conscious of what is beyond body.
I am conscious always. Just like in sleep, I am getting different body. Still I am conscious. And later, that sleeping body is gone, still I am conscious. That consciousness is impure on account of our contact with this temporary body. So when you come to the pure consciousness, that is Krishna consciousness.
But as an experience, the pure consciousness as an experience has to have a background which is not the pure consciousness.
No.
Otherwise you could become
your consciousness is actually you are.
Yes.
Just like water. Water is pure. When it is, comes from the sky, it is clear crystal water. But as soon as it touches the ground, it becomes muddy. Similarly, we soul, spirit soul, we are pure. As soon as we come in contact with this matter, material, existence, we become impure. And there are three stages of impurity. Goodness, passion and ignorance. So all of them are impure. Unless one comes to the spiritual consciousness, he may be a very nice man. He is infected with the impurity of goodness. He's thinking, I am very big man, I am very good. But that is also impurity. And another man does not know what he is, just like animal, or the animal. That is also impurity. When both of them will come to the clear consciousness that I am part and parcel of God, my duty is to serve God. That is Krishna consciousness. So long he identifies with this material consciousness, he is impure. Yeah, just like people are fighting, I am German, I am Englishman, I'm this, I'm that, I'm black, I'm white, I'm Brahman, I'm Sudra, so many designations. These designations are impure. Just like sometimes the artists, they manufacture statue naked in France, I saw. Naked. They take it, this naked statue is pure heart, not dressed. Similarly, when you come to the nakedness of spirit soul, without the designation of this body, I'm American, I'm German, I'm this, I'm that, that is pure.
But the meaning of the impure is to be the background of the consciousness of the pure without having experienced the suffering in the impure.
The consciousness is covered by impurity.
Is?
The consciousness is covered by impurity.
Covered, covered, yes,
yes.
Sure.
Just like your health is covered by disease, and the symptom is fever. But that is a covering, that is not your healthy state. Similarly, my consciousness, when I think that I am American, I am German, I am this, I am that, that is impure. And when it thinks that I am neither German nor American, nor this nor that, I am part and parcel of God, and that is your power.
But in order to get there, to feel that one is neither this nor that, one must have suffered by first having thought that one is this or that.
That suffering is just like you suffer in the dream.
Yes.
You are attacked by a tiger.
Yes.
There is no tiger.
No.
There actually there is no suffering. But on account of his ignorance, you are thinking the tiger is eating me.
Yes, but this is a very good example because the dream of the tiger comes very often.
Yes.
And it always means that you are pursued by some of your inner instinct, yourself. So you discover in the image of the tiger something which is not right in yourself.
Yes, that experience is also material.
Yes, exactly.
That is not spiritual experience.
No.
That experience is going on continually so long we are materially attached. Because in the material world, we are constantly changing our body. Your experience in childhood is different from the experience at this time. So, as we are changing our body, we are getting different experiences. And all those experiences are photographed within the mind. And they sometimes come out and make an intermixture. And we see dreams. And so many contradictory things. This is like mental speculation. That is hovering on the mental plane. That is not spiritual plane. That it is stated, Indriyani pararahu, Indriyabha paramana, manasastu parabuddhi, buddhestuja parasa. So we have to transcend the platform of intelligence also. Then we come to the platform of spiritual realization. That is instructed in the Bhagavad Gita. What happened to your eye?
It was cut.
How?
It was an automobile accident.
Oh.
But he's all right.
Others also?
No. It's just a cut.
So, our real business is how to become free from all these designations.
Right.
Yes. Then we come to real consciousness. That real consciousness is that I am eternal, God is eternal, I am part and parcel of God, my duty is to serve God. And now I am serving also. I am not free from service, but I am serving under designation. Just like you went to fight, because you designated yourself that I am German. This is an example that I must fight, give service to my country. Somebody is thinking, give service to my community or to my family. Or if there is nobody else, at least to my dog. So this is going on. So we have to close all these diseases and become pure and serve God. And that is it. Sarva-pādhu-jinin-muttam Sapparatena nirmalam rishikena rishikesa sevanam bhakti. They described him, Arjuna. Arjuna was put in his mind. You have read Bhagavad Gita, I said. This Bhagavad Gita. So he was thinking in terms of designation. That I belong to the same family. The other side, they are my cousin brothers. They belong to the same family. So why shall I fight? Let them enjoy. From material point of view, it is a very good man. But Krishna condemned him. Asatyanam sutastam pragyavada. You are talking very high words, but you are full number one. That is the first. Because he was talking on the platform of this bodily concept of life. But after hearing Bhagavad Gita, when he understood that I am not this body, I am eternal servant of Krishna, my duty is to obey the orders of Krishna, simple. And superficially, he remained the same soldier. But in the beginning, he was a soldier for his designation of this body. And later on, he became a soldier to carry out the order of the Supreme. That is the difference. So when you act to carry out the orders of the Supreme, that is self-realization. Not for this body.
There's only one way to work peace, through self-realization of those who are responsible.
Yes. Self-realization, that is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, that one should understand that I am not injured, nobody is injured. That is false. They are trying endeavor for enjoying this world, and that is false. The real enjoyer is the Supreme Lord. We are trying to occupy this land, that land. This is Germany, this is England, this is France, this is India, this is my land. Worshipable land is worshipable, it is my land. But he should know that no land belongs to us, everything belongs to God. And this is a fact. The land is not created by us. The ocean is not created by us. Then why should it be there? This is German ocean and this is English ocean. This is all false imagination. So when it comes to this understanding, that nothing belongs to us, the United Nations, they are fighting for the last 20 years. But they are fighting on the false ground. Because everyone is thinking, this land is mine. I must protect it. So there are no self-realizations, and there is no peace.
Assume two men who are realized there's no war. There's a very wonderful story when the Emperor of Japan took over the leadership again after having been for 600 years only the high priest. Now, he wanted to be again the emperor, and he was submitting one after daimyo after the other one. Only one resisted in Tokyo. General of Tokyo did not submit to the emperor and didn't allow anybody to come in to negotiate. So the emperor was very troubled. He said, "Should I burn down Tokyo? I would like to leave." And then his young sword master asked him, he was a realized man, "Do you permit me to just ride in this town and see the great general?" And he said, "Yes, you know the guards do not permit. Let me do." He sat on horseback and just rode through. The guard like this let him pass. He announced himself to the great general, and the general said, "Yes, with him I'm going to talk." And the general himself, being a self-realized man, said, "Well, all right, in 20 minutes, things are in order." And they submitted gently, and without a single shot, peace was established. Because two men of a high level of self-realization met.
So that is our point, that if we understand, every one of us realize that we are all servants of God, or sons of God, everything belongs to God. So we can use our father's property for our maintenance as much as we require, not more than that. See, if you think like that, then it's Krishna consciousness, and there will be no more war. Everything peaceful.
In my work, I always feel the great difficulty again and again, so it's always there. It's a great difference to believe that you are the Son of God and to feel it and to experience it. As long as it's only a belief, it's well-meaning doing.
Yeah.
How to prepare the conditions by which disciples might feel it.
Yeah.
That's always my daily work.
It is a very simple thing. Just like if I say, suppose you have not seen your father, your posthumous death, but you must believe that there is father.
That there is
father. Without father, there is no possibility of my existence. That is belief. And in the Christian
experience,
this is experience. The Christian people, they go to church, oh God, give us our daily Father, give us our daily bread. So, there is the Supreme Father that is confirming the Bhagavad Gita. Find out this. Sarvajori Sukhantya Sambhavanti Murtayaja Tasa Mahatmi Brahma Ahamabhija Padaptika. Krishna says, God says, I am the seed giving Father of all living entities in different forms of life.
There is one difficulty in the western part of the world which might not be so great in the eastern part. If I realize in Japan, when they talk about father and mother, especially also mother, it was all something to be loved, to be grateful, to submit. In our countries now, the father is generally the one who does not understand anymore his son. And the son has to get rid of his body father in order to be able to realize himself. So very often, the main obstacle in our youth is the image of mother and father, because they have never understood their children. So the word father, for many people in western part of the world,
is
something not very agreeable.
Yeah.
It's all the authority like this, the not understanding, the not loving, the authority. You see, there are so many fathers who say in their family, I don't know what you are talking about freedom. In my house, everybody can do what I like. So, we are very much under this spell today. So, I just say this because it's very funny also in this trend of development of religion of today.
It is not religion, it is fact. It is not, religion is sometimes explained as sentiment.
Yes.
But this is fact.
This is
fact. The father and son. Without father,
yes,
there is no existence of son.
Yes.
And without a son, there is no meaning of father.
Exactly.
This is science. This is not religion.
This is not religion.
Yeah. This is science. As soon as you speak of father, means he must have a son.
Yes.
Or more.
I see.
And as soon as his son, he must have a son.
Yes.
So this is the question of must. Not sentiment.
It's one of the great phrases of the Gospel of St. John, which the Church forgot, that Christ always said, I am the Son of God, and you are my brother, you are sons of God just as I am.
Yes, but they do not end in us.
But
you see, everyone is son.
Yes.
Now we say that the Christian, so-called Christians are so ignorant. As soon as you say everyone is son, they rebel. No. No, Christ is the only son. And you say, the Christ said that I am the son and you are also son. This is the fact. Krishna says all living entities are my sons. That is the fact. He is the Supreme Father. Aham Bija Pradesh. Read that one.
Sarva Yoniti yonisu kaunteya murtayab sambhavantika satam brahma mahadyonir aham bija pradabhita. It should be understood that all species of life, O son of Kunti, are made possible by birth in this material nature, and that I am the seed-giving father.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Material nature is the mother. Material nature gives the body. But the soul is part and parcel of God. The soul is dim, impregnated in the material nature, and they come out in so many species of life. How easily it is explained. So, self-realization is explained that samasarveshu bhuteshu, equality to all living entities. But because they have no spiritual knowledge, they think that humanitarian work means to give all facilities to the human being, not to the animals. We are talking of nationalism. National means anyone who has taken birth in that land. That is the definition of national. But they are taking care of the human being who has taken birth in that land. But poor animals, they are insulted. This is their nationalism. So everything is going wrong account of wrong conception of life. And that wrong conception of life is that I am this body. But when we understand that I am not this body, I am the active principle within this body, then this misconception is there. That is the beginning of spiritual realization, of self-realization.
And this understanding has to be an experience.
Yes, it is experience.
Not only on account
of his foolishness, he is thinking otherwise. He knows that I am not this body. I am now this body of an old man, but I was not in this body, say, 50 years ago. Therefore, I am not this body. That body is this body. I am different from the body. This is very easy experience. I am existing. I understand. I exist in a baby's body, I exist in a child's body, boy's body. So, I am now changed, so many bodies. Therefore, I am not this body. That's like you dress, you are now in black coat. The next moment, you can be in another color. But you are not this coat. You have changed the coat. Similarly, I have changed the body, but I am not this body. This is self-realization. First of all, let me know that I am not this body. I am living within this body. You are not this coat. If I ask you, Mr. Black Coat, that is my foolishness. You are neither black coat or white coat. And that is self-realization.
And yet, isn't there a difficulty? You can already have understood very well that you are not the body. But as long, for instance, as you have still fear of death, you didn't understand by experience. As soon as you understood by experience, you have no fear of death because you know that you can't die.
So experience is received by higher knowledge. Experience means higher knowledge. That is a child.
Experience means
higher knowledge.
Higher
knowledge.
As soon as you have the experience, you get the higher knowledge.
Yes. So the more you are highly elevated in knowledge, your experience is perfect.
I would like to say the other way around. As more as you are advanced in experience, the more you will have higher knowledge.
But experience, it may be slow.
Yes.
But higher knowledge you can get immediately.
Yes. Like a flash.
Yes. That's like Krishna says.
Well, it's awakening.
Yes. Krishna says that you are not this body.
Yes.
So instead of my experiencing for years and years that I am not this body, we take the knowledge from Krishna, the perfect, and my experiences now, you see. Therefore, Vedic instruction is tatvijnanartham sa guru maiva avigacchet. In order to get first-class experience of the perfection of life, you must approach Guru. That is the Vedic injunction. Samipani Sotriyam Brahmanishtha. Now, who is Guru? Whom shall I approach? The next line explains that I approach such Guru, Sotriyam, who has heard from his Guru perfectly. It's that Guru. Who has no chance of hearing from perfect Guru, he is not Guru. This is called Guru Parampara, this has been succession. I hear from a perfect person and I distribute the knowledge the same way, without any change. So Krishna, he has knowledge in Bhagavad Gita. We are distributing the same knowledge. It is not by our So, I am always inexperienced because my power of understanding is very little. Therefore, I must get experience from a person who is perfect. Then my experience is perfect. Just like a child does not know what is this. He asks his father, what is this, father? Father says, my dear child, it is a microphone. The child knows it, microphone. That knowledge is perfect, although his capacity is imperfect. The child is imperfect, but because he gets the knowledge from the perfect father, who knows what it is, when he speaks a microphone, he speaks rightly. This is perfect process of knowledge. You approach the perfect person and get knowledge, and that is your perfect experience. Personally, I may be, you may be, not perfect. But because I get the knowledge from the perfect, my knowledge is perfect. This is our process. We are getting knowledge from Krishna, the most perfect. Or you get knowledge from Jesus Christ, that is also perfect. Because the source is perfect. I am taking knowledge from God and you are taking the knowledge from the Son of God. You have come directly from Him. You see? So, but we have to receive knowledge from the perfect, not by ascending process, experiencing failure. Not like that. That will take long time. But if you actually want to be perfect, just approach the perfect, take knowledge from Him, and you become perfect. That is injunction. Tadvijnanartham sa gurumeva avigacche srotriyam brahmanishtam. Tasmad gurum prapadyeta jigyasu shreya uttamam. This is. Evam parampara praptam, evam rajan sayogiru. Find out this verse. Fourth chapter.
Evam parampara praptam, evam rajan sayogiru. Sakali neva mahata yogunasta padantapa. This supreme science was thus received through the chain of disciplic succession, and the saintly kings understood it in that way. But in course of time the succession was broken, and therefore the science as it is appears to be lost.
Yes. That's true. But I realize that since about 20, 30 years, there's a big awakening in the Western part of the world. Mm. The science and the technique coming out of science which was invented to liberate the human being, right, do exactly the contrary. People become more and more slaves of that organization which they created for their freedom. You see, today they realize the only thing, the only possibility not to be crushed is to adapt themselves to the technical world. And in adapting themselves to the technical world, they become themselves little wheels in the big machine,
yeah,
and stop to be human beings.
Yeah.
Now this is going so far today that now suddenly something is awakening here, said no. And there's kind of rebellion in our Western, as you know better than I do, in our Western mankind, and they say, well, after all, you see, science say, whatever you are feeling here, it's only subjective. The only thing which counts are the objects. Now today, mankind awakens and says, no, I'm not subjective, I am a subject, I'm a person.
Oh, yeah.
So you are quite right to eliminate me if you want to make an atomic bomb, or I don't know what, a technical thing. But if you want to guide me, you have to do away your scientific spectacles and look at me with the eyes of the real self, otherwise you won't see me.
But
now, this is the turning point today where we are.
Yes, but this is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam 5,000 years ago. Lati vidu sātagatiṁ hi Vishnu. These rascals, they do not know what is the aim of life. Lati vidu sātagatiṁ, the aim of life is God realization. But they do not know that. And why they do not know that? Bahiratthamānina. They are thinking by these external features of the material nature, they will be happy. That is very, quite visible in the Western country. They are thinking that by constructing big high skyscraper building, their civilization is advanced, or machine, or technology. But they do not know. This is not the aim of life. Real aim of life, to understand God. And nati nidu sathagatim vishnu durasaya. Durasaya means something utopian hope, which will be never fulfilled. Durasaya ji bahirathamanita. Piling up simply bricks and stone. They are thinking in this way we shall be happy. That is durasaya. That is never to be fulfilled. And then how is this society being led? Andha. The leader is a blind. The so-called scientists, technologies, philosophers, others, they do not know what is the aim of life. He's a blind man. And he's trying to lead other blind men. Yes. This is the thing. See, if a blind man tries to lead other blind men, what benefit they get? Because they do not know.
They won't move at all.
Huh?
They won't move at all.
No.
They're blind.
Therefore, they are being frustrated.
So there's a change today. The other day, a little while ago, I gave a conference. There were about 1,000 doctors, physical, medical doctors and psychotherapists assembled. And I told them, today, be careful, there are two sufferings in the world. The one suffering is suffering because of a lack of being efficient in the world. And they are going to look for the medical doctor or the psychotherapist in order to repair them, to repair their machine in order to be efficient. So there's another suffering. The suffering of not being one with the divine self in ourselves. And this is something quite different. Then the doctors have to be quiet and to discover in yourself something like a guru who answers this question, which has nothing to do with efficiency in the world. Oh, they were very, you see, became nervous about the
efficiency. Despite medical treatment.
Yes.
If you know what is this, in Ayurvedic treatment, it is called Nidan, or diagnosis.
Yes.
First of all, before treating a patient, you first of all diagnose what is the disease. Then you can give the proper medicine. But these people do not know how to diagnose. The diagnosis is that they must realize the Supreme. That is the disease, because they have forgotten
exactly.
The Supreme. They're suffering. The symptoms are different. But they are treating only for the symptoms,
yes, exactly.
Not for the root cause. And this Krishna consciousness movement is trying to treat the present from the root cause. They have forgotten God, let them remember God. Then everything is coming to
you. There's no disease of the human being which the animal has not, which has not this source. Any kind of human malady and disease which is reserved to the human being has always this source of being separated from the innermost reality.
Yes. Not only that, the other than lower animals, birds, beasts and others, they have no problem. And we have created so many problems. They have no eating problem. Thousands and thousands of sparrows are here. They have no problem of eating. They're very nicely jumping, flying, eating.
And eating each other without complex.
Yes. And they have problem. They are killing only. The human society, they should be advanced so much that even the birds, they have nothing to kill for their eating. They have a sufficient food. And we are advanced human beings. We are killing for eating. Instead of God giving us so much food, enough food, and they are still puffed up with advanced humanity. They are not even human feeling. These poor cows, they are giving us milk, the most nutritious food. And we can prepare so many nice nutritious foodstuffs. Let them live. And if I want to eat at all, let it die. Then I tell it, why kill it? Then they have no common sense. And they are living this sinful life, still they are very much proud of their civilization. And they are suffering periodical war, one number one, one number two, one number three. This number will increase, not only without war, thousands of children are being killed within the womb. This is going on. If you kill, then you be killed. This is nature's reaction. You will be killed within the womb. You will never see the sunlight. Again you die, again enter another womb, and again you will be killed. This has increased in modern society. Even father, mother does not want to see a child living, killing. And in a few days, few years after, we shall kill each other. So they are not afraid of any sinful life. The nature will not tolerate. Krishna will not tolerate. God will not tolerate. Because God claims, I am the father of everyone. So suppose if a very intelligent son kills another son of the father, he is not intelligent, will the father be very happy? The father is father for the intelligent son and the fool son. But if the intelligent son thinks that the fool son is useless, let me kill him, the father will not be satisfied. So God is the supreme father, and he will never tolerate that because you are intelligent, you are allowed to kill another unintelligent living being. No. Tena tattena bhundita. Whatever foodstuff I have given to you, you eat them, believe. And we God concerned. Animals, they are not coming to eat your foodstuff, your food. They are rather producing milk, not for drinking, themselves. They are giving you. And you have no obligation. The milk produced by the cows, it is taken by the human beings. They do not drink it. So they are giving milk. And after that, you are taking the skin. So every way they are serving this stool, bow down, we are stacked here and seen. There also, fertilizer. In so many ways, they are giving you service and you are killing the poor animal. What is the human thing? Therefore, Lord Buddha wanted to stop animal killing first. When there was too much animal killing, the incarnation of Lord Buddha was there to stop animal killing. In Buddhism, there is no animal killing. Although we are now killing animals, but originally, Buddha religion means non-violence. Also, Lord Krishna said, thou shalt not kill. And Krishna says, ahimsa. So in no religion, unnecessary killing of animals is allowed. Even in Mohammedan, they are also kurbani. Kurbani means they can kill animals once in a year in the mosque. So everywhere, animal killing is restricted.
May I put one question to this? How do we know that the plants, the flowers, and so on, do not suffer when we take them away?
No, they have also sensation.
Have you found?
They have sensation when you pluck it.
Yes.
That is proved by scientists.
Yes. That's what I mean.
Dr. Jagadish Chandra Bose. Their trees have got sensation.
So, that's what I think. So, if we kill a plant or a tree...
No, we don't kill it. You take the fruit.
We cut it.
Yes, cutting is not allowed. Unless it is absolutely
necessary. For eating vegetables, for instance, you need it.
Yes, that is the law of nature, that every living being is eating another living being. That is stated in the Vedic Shastra. Ahastani sahastani. Apadani chatuspadam. Nunam mahatan tattva jiva jivasya jivanam. That those who have no hands, that means animals, they are food for the animal who has got hands. And those who have no legs, they are food for the four-legged. That means grass has no legs. But it is a food for the cows and the goats. Apadani jatuspada. Nunam mahatan tattva. Then one who is powerful, very powerful, just this tiger, it jumps upon another animal. So, because the other animal is weak, and this animal is strong, see, in this way, the killing is going on. One animal, one living being for the animal. But when you come to the, that is nature. The tiger will never eat grass. But we human beings, we eat grass, goat, cows, and everything. We are, because advanced, so-called advanced. But our foodstuff is to accept the remnants of foodstuff which is eaten by Krishna. That is our pleasure. Krishna prasad. It's like in this temple. We don't eat anything. Neither we eat grass, neither we eat animal. We eat Krishna prasad. So, Krishna says that you give me this foodstuff. Patram krishnam phalam toyam yumi bhakta apajitse. So, we are not eating on the material platform. We are eating on the spiritual platform. Because we are eating, if there is anything sinful, there is Krishna also. We are taking his remnants of food. This is our philosophy. We don't advocate vegetarianism or non-vegetarianism. we advocate eat Krishna's prasad. When Sakrishna which is offered to Krishna. This is our philosophy. Now apart from this philosophy, there is, because one living entity is food for another living entity, it does not mean that I shall eat my children. There is discretion. The human being, they should offer these fruits, vegetables, meat, as it is prescribed in this shastra, to God, Krishna, and death. That is human duty. Not for the satisfaction of the tongue, we have to maintain big, big slaughterhouse. That is not human. The main business of the human society is to understand God. And as soon as he understands God, he understands that every living entity is part and parcel of Krishna. Then, how he can eat? That because Krishna eats, Krishna allows, then he eats. The responsibility is Krishna. This is our question.